Dog Works Radio is sponsored by Alaska Dog Works. Check out their website at alaskadogworks.com.
From Dog Works Radio Network, sponsored by Alaska Dog Works, Professional Canine Training Center in Anchorage, Alaska. This is the Dog Works Radio Show, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of the one and only 24-hour internet radio network dedicated to dogs. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Dog Works Radio. You can find us over on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. You can also find us over on dogworksradio.com. Make sure you check us out over on social media. Just search for Dog Works Radio. And I am joined today by the founder of a very cool company. It's called Pup Tech, and they have a product coming out called PupCom. His name is William Lopesco, and he is calling in from Denver, Colorado. William, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, for sure. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're all about, please?
Yeah, so my name is William Lopesco. I live in Denver with my dog Clovis. Clovis and I love going hiking in our beautiful mountains and, you know, hiking, camping, all of that, which obviously requires me taking him in the car with me to those places. So unfortunately, and a lot of times when I have Clovis in the car, if I want to stop for a sandwich or gas on the way home, I have to leave him in the car even for 5 minutes, and I worry about what might be happening to him while I'm away, even if it is for such a short amount of time. So that's why I created the PupCom, to help dog owners be able to have peace of mind, to know that their dog is safe, really in all the places when they can't be with them.
So the PupCom is a really cool piece of tech. It's sort of like, for folks that are listening, it's sort of like a baby monitor that also works with your app and on your devices, whether it be an iPhone or an Android, I assume, and also an Apple Watch, and it notifies you of things that are happening with your dog, whether they're in a car, an RV, a dog show, or whatever, like heat indexes or if they're barking too much, etc. And you guys are out right now over on Indiegogo, the social media crowdfunding platform. And I understand you guys reached your goal in just a few days. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so that's exactly right. Our product does all of those things and many more. And we did launch last week on Indiegogo, goal of reaching $25,000. We hit that goal after just 72 hours live on the platform, and now we're working on getting a lot more past that. As we go out towards some higher numbers, we're going to be announcing additional stretch goals, which are new features that we'll be able to build into the product to improve it even further.
Excellent. So can we talk a little bit about sort of the nuts and bolts of these crowdfunding programs? I know very popular is Kickstarter, and I know Indiegogo is another one. Why did you guys go that route versus some type of other funding, whether it be venture capital or partnerships or something like that?
Absolutely. Good question. So we actually did raise a first round of angel investor funding in March to help us get started to build our first 25 units, test units that we shipped out earlier this spring, but then part of the deal with these investors was that we needed to be able to show that people actually want to buy this product and that this really has a demonstrated need in the market. And so the best way for us to be able to do that is through crowdfunding, get people really excited about the product and get them to want to buy it, and that way we can turn around and tell our investors, see, this is something that people need, and then they can give us more money to be able to go out and pay for manufacturing and more software development, et cetera.
So for folks that are not aware about how these crowdfunding programs work, if you've never pledged on one of these like Kickstarter or Indiegogo, typically you're paying for something that is going to be released in the future, and it's often at a discounted price or with other perks, whether it be, you know, first editions or something like that. When is your product planning on going live, so to speak, and released out to your backers?
Yeah, so right now we're in the middle of our campaign. It ends in mid-September, so we've got a little over a month left. And then from there, that's when we get the money from everyone who backed our campaign. And we go out and we finish the design and place the order with the manufacturers. And we expect right now to be able to start shipping units in April 2019.
Excellent. So, William, you told us about your dog Clovis there at the top and how he was sort of the inspiration for your PupCom system. Can you tell us a little bit about him and what was that inspiration?
Yeah, well, there's actually one specific day when this all started. So Clovis is – I adopted him from a shelter here in Denver. They told me he was about two, so that would make him like six or seven now. And he's a yellow lab. He loves to sweep, but when he's not sweeping, he loves going for walks and hiking. And right very shortly after I got him, Clovis is my first dog. So I didn't grow up with dogs, and I didn't necessarily grow up steeped in knowing a whole lot about dogs and really with dogs and cars. And so right when I first got Clovis, we wanted to go spend 4th of July weekend. Me and my dad and Clovis down in southern Colorado, about 6 hours away, to go hike a mountain called a 14er, one of the 14,000-foot peaks in Colorado. And we did. We had a great time. We camped. We hiked. Clovis had a blast, swimming, running, playing, etc. And on the way home, we wanted to stop for lunch before our five-hour drive back to Denver to celebrate. And that's where we ran into all sorts of problems. We couldn't find a good place to park in the shade. I had heard, obviously, that it was dangerous to leave Clovis in the car, but I still wanted to be able to go in and grab a sandwich to celebrate. And so what should have been a very peaceful and enjoyable celebratory lunch ended up being really more of an ordeal, where every 5 minutes I was running out to the car to check on Clovis, and he was fine. We were in the mountains, so it wasn't too hot, but I was still really worried about him. And so right when I got back to Denver, I asked my vet, what should I have done in this situation? And she said, well, you should have just left Clovis at home for the entire weekend or not stopped at all. Those are really the only two options. And I thought that was crazy. I'm not going to leave him at home for the weekend just because I have to stop for half an hour out of 3 days. But I also think it's crazy not to be able to stop at all. And so that's why we came up with a third option, which is to be able to stop safely when you need to.
And, of course, that's one of the cornerstones to your product is a heat index. So it registers the temperature in the car or truck or RV or whatever. How does that work exactly? Because I know that's a big problem. There's always items in the news with dogs that are overheating, and you'll hear the things on social media about people breaking the windows of cars to rescue these dogs and that sort of thing because it's so warm in the car. So how does this work, and how are you notified exactly?
Yeah, so the heat index is temperature plus humidity. There's a formula the National Weather Service uses to combine those two into how you actually feel. So the reason we look at that is because dogs, humidity plays a huge role in their ability to cool down. The more humid it is, the less they can cool down in a lot of ways, like humans. So that's why we look at heat index. And so our unit has a temperature sensor and a humidity sensor built in, and it estimates that heat index. And we start sending you our software it can estimate a safe temperature range for your dog based on their breed, their age, their weight, their size, and some other different factors, including their health history. And then it sets sort of an upper and a lower limit of what is comfortable for your dog. And obviously you can change that in either direction if you feel differently about what is comfortable for your dog. But we try to acknowledge that every dog is different and every dog, Chihuahuas and St. Bernards, aren't going to feel heat the same way. And then we start sending you alerts 10 degrees, within 10 degrees of your dog's safe temperature range. So either 10 degrees below the maximum safe comfortable range or 10 degrees above the minimum safe comfortable range. And we start sending you alerts, and they become increasingly more frequent as we get closer to the edge of that comfortable range. And you can choose to receive those alerts either via text messages, emails, or push notifications. Push notifications are those app alerts that show up right on your phone. And we send alerts about heat index. We send alert about battery life of the unit. We send alerts about time and timer. So if you've been gone for more than X amount of time, we'll send you an alert, even if your dog is fine, just to let you know your dog misses you. And we also send you an alert about sounds and barking, et cetera. So, and those alerts are fully customizable. You can decide when and how you want to receive them. But the basic one, obviously, heat index, you can't turn those off because that's the most important one.
So I'm looking here at your product on the website. It's a pretty small little box. I guess it's about the size of, I don't know, maybe your fist or so. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's designed to fit into a cup holder, really. So it's about 3 inches by 3 inches by an inch and a half.
So
yeah,
where in the world is – where did you – come up with this idea? I mean, what's your background? Are you a sort of a software hardware guy yourself? I know you have one heck of a team on your website. You've got software developers and, you know, military police coordinators and all sorts of things on your site. What is your background and how did you develop your team to help you out with this?
Yeah, so my background is neither in technology nor in business. I got a degree in geology. That's what I studied in college. And then I got a job as a civil engineer, and that's what I was doing prior to this. And so really nothing to do with this. But when I started thinking of this almost four years ago, and decided that I was at a good point in my life, personally, financially, to really be able to quit my job and put all of my effort into this, but I quickly realized that I knew very little about it, and so that's when I started bringing on people who knew about business, knew about technology, the engineering side of things, really being able to get it done. We've been very lucky in our ability to build our team. Part of it is that there's a lot of people out there who are really passionate about dogs, and so asking people to come work for you for a company that's going to help save dogs is a pretty easy sell in a lot of cases. So we've built that team out over the last 3 years, and most of those people for now started off working for purely stock, so purely equity in the company, not getting paid, and a lot of those people remain in that arrangement to this day because we're still a small startup and we have limited resources.
Well, you know, you definitely bit off a heck of a lot, I guess you could say. You have both the software side, which I'm sure is a challenge in itself. Then you have to have the hardware to make it all work. What was sort of a little bit of the background about developing both sides of that? I'm sure you have some success stories as well as some horror stories on both sides, don't you?
Yeah. So we actually started off. My first dream and my first vision was really for a cooling system that would actually cool the car for your dog, and it would have the electronics built in to be able to transmit to the app on your phone. But really, its core functionality would be to cool. And so we spent a year and a half, almost 2 years, working on that. We went through four or five different iterations on that product. It started off as a crate that was cooled, and then it went to being like a pad that your dog would lay on, and then it went to being more of an air conditioner. And we did get to a unit that worked really well. We actually went down to Arizona, and it was 95 degrees, and we were able to keep my dog, Clovis, in the car for 2 hours on a 95-degree day, obviously monitoring him the whole time, not just leaving him and walking away, but checking on him for 2 hours, and he was fine. In the car. And so the unit worked, but it was big and it was expensive and it was hard to use. And a lot of people told us that really what they wanted was just the communication piece. They weren't necessarily interested in this big, expensive cooling device. So 18 months or so ago, we moved away from the air conditioner, which was very hard to manufacture, and we decided to work on building just these electronics. Certainly, the investors we were talking to were much more interested in that because it put more emphasis on software, which is what most tech investors like. You know, in terms of horror stories, we spent 2 years working on a product that we ended up not building, invested a lot of money and time into that product, and ultimately it went nowhere. But as far as successes go, you know, we did ship out a first batch of 30 units that our engineer and I built in my basement with a soldering iron, a hot glue gun, and a 3D printer. We were named one of the top 50 startups in the world last year at a pitch competition in Silicon Valley out of 3,600 companies that applied. And so we've come a long ways, but we know we're just getting started because now is really when we get to share our product with the world, and then we actually have to go out and make a lot of them.
Awesome, for sure. William, did you ever fancy yourself as a tinkerer when you were a little kid? Were you constantly taking things apart and putting them back together? And if not, what sort of spurred that along where you thought, yeah, I got the chops that I can do this. I can figure out the way things work and really make it rock and roll.
So I was always a tinkerer and drove my parents crazy because they would give me toys and I would take them apart and not necessarily know how to put them back together. So that's always kind of been in my blood. I've always liked playing with, you know, tools and technology and trying out new ideas and experimenting with new things. But really, in terms of what gave me the confidence to think that I could actually do this, you know, I've told many people, in a lot of ways, I've been too stupid to quit. I think a lot of people who were maybe more reasonable than I would have quit many, many times when that seemed like the best option. And, you know, I think this takes a level of self-confidence that a lot of times borders on arrogance and delusion of, you know, everyone else is telling you that this is wrong and this is not going to work and you're crazy for trying, and I'm out there by myself saying, no, it is going to work, and we'll figure out a way to make it happen. I don't know how, but it will in the end.
Well, it definitely sounds like you're doing something right if you're winning the top startup awards and all that. So I definitely want to congratulate you on that as well. You know, William, in today's world, you're sort of at that perfect time. You know, you have the technology that to be able to do things like this, and of course everybody loves their dogs. We want to take them everywhere with us, and of course everybody has an iPhone or an Apple Watch or something in their pocket or on their wrist that they're constantly carrying around. So you have all of this ability right there in our daily lives today. Is that something that you really thought about, like, wow, you know, this is a great time to release this because we're at the height of this sort of always connected era?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our technology would not really have been possible, certainly not 10 years ago. Even 5 years ago, it might have been tougher. You know, pet technology as a whole is a very new industry that people are just warming up to. You know, it still really hasn't penetrated into a lot of the pet retailers. If you go to PetSmart or Petco, you don't really see any pet tech products like ours. It's still just leashes and food and dog bowls and all that more traditional pet stuff. So this does seem like the right time, and I did feel very strongly that if we weren't going to do this and make it happen, someone else would, and, you know, why should we wait and let them do it when it could be us? And we do know of at least two other companies, or three other companies even, that are trying to do something very similar to us. So certainly the time is now, and there does seem to be a lot of excitement about the way that we can use modern digital technology to help improve the lives of our dogs.
So, William, I have just a couple of more questions here. The first question I have is looking at the unit here on the Indiegogo site. One of the things that caught my eye was the cellular function of it. Is that a subscription type thing that people have to pay for through, you know, their provider, whether it be AT&T or Verizon or somebody like that? And if not, how does that work?
It is a something that they have to pay for, but they pay us, and we hook it up into AT&T's national network, and we deal with all the billing and all the getting everything connected. And so we get billed by AT&T, obviously, for that service, and so we do have to charge a monthly fee for that. It's $5 a month. Or $50 a year, and then it really doesn't matter. As long as you have a phone with a data plan for your own smartphone, it really doesn't matter whether or not you have AT&T or Verizon or any other provider, because ultimately we're just paying to connect your device to the cloud, and then from there your data plan takes the data from the cloud and puts it into your app.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's pretty much just app-based at that point. You have your transponder unit in the car or whatever, but all of the magic is happening through the app, which they're downloading through the App Store or whatever. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So, in the our unit and the app never really talk to each other. Our unit sends data straight to the cloud, our servers in the cloud, and then the app on your phone – also connects straight to those cloud servers and pulls down that data. But obviously, the app is free in the App Store or the Google Play Store, and you can't really use the PubCom without it, because without it, it's just a box with a light.
You know, if I could just expound on that just a second before I move to that last question. I'm looking at your app now, and it's pretty slick. It's customizable. It's working with the different colors in terms of the heat index. So cool would be blue, and hot would be red, and then everything in between. And that, I think, is a big part of it, that slickness or coolness of the app. You know, there's so many apps out there that are clunky and not very user-friendly or fancy to look at, and people just don't use them anymore because of the clunkiness. I'm sure you took that into consideration when you were developing this application. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We want our app to be as easy to use as possible. We know that a lot of dog owners aren't very tech savvy, and we don't want them to have to be to use our product. We want them to spend more time hanging out with their dogs than learning how to use a new app. So we designed that screen so that you can see all of the pertinent information right on one screen without having to scroll through lots of different displays. Obviously, you can access more data and more information if you want to, but we did try to really distill all of the essential components into one super easy-to-read screen, and same with the Apple Watch. So if you do have an Apple Watch, all you need to do is just look at it and see that your dog is safe. And actually, another feature that we're going to be announcing today at our launch party, which is a stretch goal for us, is that we'll be integrating the app with Siri and Hey Google and Alexa, so that you could just say, "Hey Siri, check on Clovis," and then Siri would come back and say, "Clovis is comfortable. The heat index is 78 degrees." So it's all about making it just as easy as possible for our users, very intuitive, so they don't have to figure it out.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. You know, everybody's wanting to use that voice activated type feature now. I think that's sort of the next wave of what's happening in tech for sure. So, William, one last question, and it's, I believe, a feature right now on the system and on the app. It talks about passerby messaging. As I mentioned at the top of the show, you know, you'll hear in the news about people breaking windows of people's cars and trying to rescue dogs and that sort of thing, doing that good Samaritan act that they're trying to do well by the dog. But then you're faced with somebody breaking into your car and, you know, you're taking your dog, et cetera. How are you dealing with that with this passerby messaging process that you're implementing?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked this question, because this is maybe the feature of the PubCom that we're most excited about and a lot of people are most excited about. So, yeah, it's great for you to be able to check on your dog in the car, but if other people don't know that you're checking on your dog, they're still going to smash your windows. So every PubCom that we sell, and we have a You can see this if you scroll a little further down on our website. It comes with stickers, decals that go in your car's window, and there is a unique identifier code on that sticker. And that code is tied back to the device that's in the car. And there are instructions right on that sticker so that anyone who walks by and wants to check on the dog can text that code into our servers, and they'll get a code, they'll get a text back showing the temperature inside and outside the car. And, you know, we've heard from a lot of